Please open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 7, beginning with verse 15, page 1200 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1200. Romans, chapter 7, verses 15 through 22. These verses we'll read responsively. The 18th verse is the text verse. May we please stand together for the reading of God's Word. For that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And may we pray. Father, what a good day you've given us. Thank you for the pretty weather. But thank you for a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And every time the doors open here for a service, it's a wonderful opportunity. How dare us to miss such opportunities too casually? Help us, those of us who are present here and those who will hear the message by way of tape, thou wouldst bless our hearts. Help us, give us something that we truly need, and bless in a mighty powerful way the service, the preaching, our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning I want to speak on the subject, He died for your righteousness too. Before I pray, I want to say that I just was handed a note that Bill Hassey, Jr. and his wife are with us this morning. And there's something very unusual about this because they're leaving later today to teach in Japan for a while. And so, Brother Ms. Hassey, would you stand? I expect you up there with your folks. Two of our fine people, thank you. Bill grew up in our church and married a lovely Christian young lady. And they're going to Japan to teach, and Bill's been teaching in college for several years now, and now they're going to Japan. We're delighted to have them with us this morning. You ever wonder why you try to do good and don't? Do you ever wonder why you walk down the aisle and the preacher preaches on maybe be a kind one to another, and you mean to be kind, but doesn't last very long? You're not hypocritical. You honestly mean to be kind. Do you ever wonder why that when you hear a sermon on generosity, maybe you'll come down the aisle, kneel at the altar, and promise God that you're going to be generous? And you're not putting on a show. You're no facade, veneer. You're genuine. You mean it. And you try. It doesn't seem to work that way. I want to share with this morning what our problem is. I want to share this morning what I think is one of the biggest problems in the Christian life. Thereby, it's one of the biggest problems in our churches. He died for your righteousness too. Or, crucify the good too. Our Father, bless, I pray, our effort this morning. We cannot do it in our own strength. In fact, we can't do it at all. We can simply offer ourselves and say, Holy Spirit, do it through us today. And do thou this morning give our people what we need. Speak to the heart of thy simple servant today. Through me to the hearts of those who wait for the message. In Jesus' name, amen. In the next 25 or 26 minutes or so, you're going to learn or hear a truth that probably is the root of 90% of all your problems. A lady came to me with this story. And by the way, this story is repeated over and over again all across the world, all the time. She came to me and this is what she said. She said, "We're having problems in our marriage." She said, "I am affectionate, loving, and my husband is not. He's mean. He's cruel. And he just is not as thoughtful and as loving as he ought to be. The truth is, he's just mean to me," she said. We prayed for her husband. Her husband got saved one Sunday morning right here in this auditorium. He literally was transformed. Literally. He became one of the most gracious, loving men you'd ever want to see. He came to me one day and he said, "I don't understand it. My wife's not as affectionate as she used to be. Now that I have a loving spirit," she came to me and she said, "my husband is sort of sickening anymore. Said he's just gooey." And she said, "We're not compatible." Now I won't tell you what caused it. Now follow me carefully. He had nothing. She had what I would call phileo. Phileo in the Bible is a word for fondness. It's the world's word for love. It's the kind of word that most people mean when they use or mean when they say, "I love you." So she didn't have what I'm going to call this morning crucified love. She had phileo, but he had nothing. Now compared to her phileo, his mean disposition was terrible. But he got saved. When he got saved, he realized he was mean. And so he came to God and asked God to give him real love. And God gave him real love. But God's love is a deeper love than phileo. So now he has agape, she has phileo, and they're just as far apart as they ever were. You see, she didn't want him to get agape. She wanted him to get phileo. So here he was, here she was. She wanted him up here, but he came and he got up here. And now then, he has the genuine from God. Oh, this counterfeit kind of love the world has to offer. This substitute for love. And I'm not talking about Hollywood love. That's not even phileo. That's eros. That's sensuous love. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this kind of deal. I love you now, but don't love you tomorrow. I don't love you anymore, but I used to love you. You're a dirty liar. That's what you are. Nobody ever used to love anybody. I said nobody ever used to love anybody. I said nobody ever used to love anybody. I said nobody was ever at one time a friend to anybody. Nobody was ever, there's no such thing as an ex-friend. No such thing. If you're a friend, you're always a friend. If you love, you always love, if it's agape. Agape never faileth, the Bible says. Never does. Now, so what happened? You have a mean man here and a wife that has phileo. She's saved, but her love isn't crucified. And so she doesn't have the real love that God gives her, the agape love. Do you ever wonder why good people sometimes don't like loving people? Listen, if a person in a church gets the kind of love that is God's love, oftentimes the people in that church won't care for him or care for her. Because phileo hates agape. And the flesh hates the spirit. And because of that, here's a person in the church that some gets a good old dose of the love of Christ. And brother, that's what we need.
I'm not talking about the love that you say, you ought to love, you ought to love. You can't ought to love. You can't love till you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, and the God who is love loves through you. That's the only love you can have. You can't make folks love. You can't argue folks into loving. You can sit down and talk to somebody and say, you ought to love me, you ought to love me, you ought to love, you ought to love, you ought to love. He can't love. He can phileo, and that's the generated love of the world, but he cannot know the real love of Christ and the genuine love that never fadeth until he yields himself to the Spirit of God and God's Spirit works through him. You see, phileo doesn't like agape, and the flesh doesn't like the Spirit. You see, here's what happens. Man's best feels no need for improvement. Man comes to God. We say Christ died for our sins. He also died for your righteousness. You say Christ died for our iniquity. He also died for your good too. Because man's good is bad. That's what Jesus meant when he talked about, any man follow me and doesn't hate his mother, father, brother, or sister. What he's saying is that compared to the real love of Christ, phileo is hatred. But the truth is, the honest truth is, we have tried to operate our people by saying, you love now. You ought to love. We ought to love each other. We preach on love as if we're commanding them to love, but you don't do it that way. Love is a gift of God Almighty and is only given when we yield ourselves to Him and the wonderful love of Christ flows through us, and that love never changes, and that love is never in the past tense, and that love will never leave. Man's best feels no need for improvement. I won't say this. Your joy needs to get crucified too. The Church of Jesus Christ needs more than sin on the cross. We need to put our joy on the cross to get crucified joy. Our generosity ought to be on the cross so we can get crucified generosity. Our kindness ought to be on the cross so we can get crucified kindness. You know, that's why some people, you say, I just can't stand her. I just can't stand her. She's just gooey, sickening. I know, because you've got phileo and you don't like agape. She's got the real, or he has the real thing, and you've got the counterfeit, and you don't, the flesh never, listen, I mean the good flesh doesn't like righteousness either. And the good flesh doesn't like the Spirit either. And I'm saying that the Church of Jesus Christ, our troubles are based on the fact that we come to God and we say, okay, I've got 10 things about me. 5 are good and 5 are bad. So I'll get these 5 bad things crucified. But you don't get your love crucified and you're left with temporal love. You don't get your generosity crucified. You're left with temporal generosity. You don't get your kindness crucified. You're left with temporal kindness. And because of that, you don't lack the genuine thing. See, phileo doesn't lack agape. And our human kindness doesn't lack divine kindness. And our human generosity doesn't lack divine generosity. And the thing we don't do is this. We don't stop to realize that our good is also bad. Isaiah 64:6 says, I need some help back there, the ushers in that door. Somebody, want to usher, sit back there and do what you're supposed to do, if you would, please. And I'm saying that we need crucified generosity and crucified kindness and crucified goodness, and that's the kind that never stops or never ceases. We bring our sins to the cross, but not our strengths. We bring our sins to the cross, but not our good points. But natural kindness is flesh too. And natural generosity is flesh too. And natural love is flesh too. And natural loyalty is flesh too. I'm thinking about a young man who came to our church. Got right with God. Oh, he was mean. He beat his wife. I'm a young man now. I'm talking about a fellow, 30, 35-ish. He beat his wife. She was just absolutely afraid of him. He was an alcoholic. I mean, absolutely gone to the depths. But And he came to our church, and he got right with God. He walked down to the front. I mean, his life was transformed. And his wife was so happy. Until he brought his agape home and compared it to her phileo. And she said, I don't like him like this. She was praying he would get phileo, which is doing nothing more than praying that the flesh will improve. But improved flesh is also flesh. Improved generosity is also flesh. Improved kindness is also flesh. So what happened? They came to see me. And I said, aren't you glad your husband got saved? She said, he's a fanatic. He wants to come back on Sunday night. He wants to come back on Wednesday night. I didn't want him to be an alcoholic, but he won't even drink martinis with me now. Don't you see what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say that this old world... Here's what we do. We advertise agape. Our newspapers advertise agape. They see the love we have as God's people who've been crucified in the area of love, and they advertise agape. But we're trying to reach agape with phileo, and you cannot do that. We're creating appetites in our society that cannot be filled by our society. We take a beautiful picture of peace and joy, and that's agape. But then we try to take our human kindness, our human love, our human generosity, our human strength, and do it. Listen, the average person in this room this morning needs to go out in the pea patch somewhere and get alone with your God for about a half a day at a time, for about a week. And we ought to fall on our faces and say, God, I am not good, only you are good. I have a reputation of being pretty good, but I'm not good. Oh God, crucify my temper, but also crucify my kindness. Crucify my hatred, but also crucify my love. Crucify my bitterness, but also crucify my patience. You see, most of us take these 10 things we have in our lives. We say, well, these 5 are bad. Lord, I come to you, I place them on the cross. But these 5 things that are good, no need to place those on the cross. So we end up having 5 crucified points and 5 natural points. And our goodness is weaker than our badness then because our sins have been the Calvary. You listen to me. This is why you have fusses in your house. This is why you and your wife fuss with each other. This is why you teenagers fuss with each other. This is why you can't get along with folks here in the church. This is why you're bickering. This is why you get jealous of somebody else. I'll tell you why. Because you have never taken your good things to Calvary. Now listen to me. You take your sins to Calvary, and God forgives them. The devil has a counterfeit for it, though. I mean, the devil has a counterfeit salvation. That's works. The devil has a counterfeit baptism. That's sprinkling. The devil has a counterfeit Lord's Supper. That's the sacraments. The devil has a counterfeit a spirit fullness. That's drunkenness. The devil has a counterfeit, and the devil has a counterfeit love, and the counterfeit kindness, and a counterfeit generosity, and a counterfeit goodness. But what you've done is this. You've taken your sins to the cross and had those nailed to the cross, but you've not taken your goodness to the cross. And the Bible says our righteousness is like filthy rags. Did you read our text a while ago in Romans chapter 7? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Did you hear that? You say, but I'm a kind person by nature. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Isaiah, God didn't tell the prophet Isaiah that our sins are like filthy rags. He said our righteousness is like filthy rags. And the kindest people in this room are sometimes the most wicked people. Why? Because you don't have a crucified disposition. You don't have a crucified love. You don't have a crucified kindness. You don't have a crucified generosity. And what you need to do is take your generosity that is human to the cross and nail it to the cross and let God work His miraculous generosity through you as you yield to His Holy Spirit to do a work that you cannot do. See, you got some counterfeits. I preach on the devil's counterfeits. I say the sacraments are counterfeits to the Lord's Supper and sprinkling is a counterfeit baptism, and the invisible church is a counterfeit for the local New Testament church. You'd say, amen, amen, amen. And yet some of the sweetest people in this room this morning have counterfeit sweetness. Some of the most generous people in this room this morning have counterfeit generosity. Some of the most lovable people in this room this morning have counterfeit love. You know why? Because you did not realize that your goodness ought to go to Calvary too. And that Christ not only died for your sin, He died for your righteousness, because the Bible says, in the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. In the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Illustration. I know a family had a wayward son. There's not much he hadn't done. Gone to the bottom. Always the bottom. They prayed for that boy. These were good people, by the way. Lovely people. Not members of this church. I know they're in another city. And it happened recently. And I prayed for them. They wrote me a letter and said, please pray for my boy. And these were Sunday morning people. Sunday night people. Wednesday night people. But they said, please pray for our boy. He's on dope. He's on alcohol. He's living in adultery. Name it. He's done it and doing it. Please pray. We prayed. I called the boy on the telephone. Talked to him on the phone. And on the phone, he prayed and got right with God. He came home and told his mom and dad. Oh, they were so happy. Then within 2 months, his mom and dad called me and said, there's something wrong with our son. He's passing out tracts. He's making a fool of himself. Why, he's a fanatic. Something's wrong. We didn't want that. I know. You wanted the flesh to improve, but God wanted the spirit to improve him. You see? You wanted what you've got. They wanted what they had. They had kind flesh, which is sinful. It looks good compared to the hate, to hatred. And the world thinks it's kindness. And you may think it's kindness. Amen. Nothing is genuine in the graces unless it's gotten at Calvary. There's no such thing as real love unless it's crucified love. No such thing as real goodness unless it's crucified goodness. Now then, the family writes me there and says, pray for our boy. He's gone to seed. Have you heard about this Fundamentalist Anonymous? They got an organization now like Alcoholics Anonymous. It's called Fundamentalist Anonymous. If you've got somebody that's a fundamentalist, you come to this anonymous thing, and like you come to Alcoholics Anonymous, and they'll get you over fundamentalism. Brother, you get what I got, you won't get over it, I guarantee you. You get the real McCoy, you won't get over it. You can get over synthetic joy, but not agape joy. You can get over synthetic giving, but not agape giving. You can get over the synthetic and the counterfeit, but you get the real thing. I mean, you come to Christ and get born again. You won't get over that. But that isn't all. You won't get over a love that's gotten at Calvary either. But you took your hatred to the cross and didn't take your love. You took your selfishness to the cross, but didn't take your unselfishness. You took your meanness to the cross, but didn't take your kindness. And God comes this morning and says, give me your kindness too. It's tainted by sin. Give me your righteousness too. It's just like filthy rags. You've heard me say this before. The Jews had public rags, like we have public restrooms. And the leper would come along, and that rag would be tied onto a post about like this. And tied onto a post like that, and he'd come by and had public rags. He'd take the rag and wipe the pus off of his body. And all over his body, sores, oozing with corruption. And he'd wipe that off his body. And the next leper would come by and take that same public rag and wipe the stuff off his body. And the pus and corruption off of the leprous sores of hundreds of people, maybe, on that one rag. And God says, our righteousness is like that filthy rag. Oh, didn't say our sin is like that filthy rag. He said our righteousness is like that filthy rag. Our goodness is like that filthy rag. Our generosity is like that filthy rag. Our kindness is like that filthy rag. Our best. Now, we left to preach that for salvation. But let me tell you something. Jesus died for more than just to save your soul. Jesus died to redeem your life. And you come to Calvary and say, Lord, I've tried to do good to save myself, and I failed, and I could not save myself. And I come to you and ask you to save my soul. But that's not all. You come back to Calvary and say, Dear Lord, my sins are beneath the blood, but now I want to put my goodness beneath the blood too. Oh, God, give me real, honest love. I thought Friday afternoon as I was standing here and our people, tired and weary, came by to let the delegates say goodbye to them. I thought about our dear people and I said, Oh, God, I'm thankful I have the real thing for them. I'm thankful that the love that I have for my people is the genuine thing. I don't want to counterfeit anything. Say something else, too. Church called me and said, Brother House, we want a preacher like you. They thought they did. And we want you to help us get a preacher who has some standards and some conviction and he's for soul winning. We want a preacher like that. And I recommended one. He went. They called him. He took it. They called me back later on and said, What'd you send us? I sent them somebody who had a real thing, not to counterfeit this ministerial association love. Let's just go ahead and say it. This Schuller kind of possibility thing. Hogwash! Garbage! Counterfeit! Go to the cross and get there. Don't go to the book on 15 ways to have peace. Go to the cross and find the only way to have peace. Don't go to some bookstore and get a book on 16 ways to have satisfaction. Go to the cross and get the one way to have satisfaction. There's nothing wrong with your personality couldn't be cured by Calvary. There's nothing wrong with your disposition couldn't be cured by Calvary. There's nothing wrong with your personality couldn't be cured by Calvary. That's one reason why I don't pay much attention to all this stuff about, sanguine. Say, oh, you're a sanguine. Well, I knocked the guy in the teeth before I found out what he's talking about. You're a melancholy. The cross can take care of all of that. I mean, we need crucified people, crucified personalities, crucified disposition, crucified generosity, crucified kindness. Bring our goodness to Calvary and throw our goodness at the feet of Christ and say, Oh, God, make what I've got real. Give me real crucified love. Give me real crucified generosity. Give me real crucified kindness. Give me real crucified grace. Let me have the real McCoy. And you don't get that in a study course. You get that at the cross. Good things are carnal too. They also must die on the cross. Carnal things cannot please God. Now, folks, listen to me. It's time we got along with each other. It's time we quit this little piddling, garbage, fussing, and fuming with each other. You haven't got to make your house. Listen, I'll tell you something. It takes two people to fuss, and you won't have fusses in your house unless both fuss. You won't do it. Why don't we become Christian? Why don't we learn about a cross? Why don't we learn about the crucified life? You don't have to act like the heathen. You don't have to be like the heathen. God can give us a crucified disposition, a crucified love, a crucified kindness that can transform our lives. But you don't get that because you try to tack it on like you'd put on a badge of registration at pastor school. You get that on your face in a pea patch. But you learn to pray and you learn to go to Calvary and put your goodness at Calvary, you'll never have anything but counterfeit goodness. And that's what's wrong with us. 90% of the counseling that I do wouldn't have to be done. I don't mind doing it. But 90% of it wouldn't have to be done if you'd go to Calvary and get crucified. 90% of it. Well, you don't know what she said to me. Don't send anything back. Well, you should have heard the way he treated me and seen the way he treated me. Don't treat back. You can't make a dead man mad. Walk by the casket and say, Buster, I hate your guts. He slaps you, let me know. I want to throw that door's mine right there. No. Crucified man, you can slap, you can just slap him and slap him and slap him. A lot of folks are going to do that at my funeral service. But he won't slap. Listen to me. If I am crucified, I will no more slap you back while I'm breathing than I will when I quit breathing. And it's time we got this crucified life out of the pulpit and put it in the pew. I don't know two standards in this Bible. Oh God, hide our preacher behind the cross. How about hiding some members behind the cross? Oh God, fill our preacher with the Holy Spirit. Give him power while he preaches. How about give me power while I listen? So two standards in the Bible. It's one standard. God wants us to come to Calvary and say, Lord, I can't save myself. I've tried. I've done everything good I know to do, but I know I'm still lost. Oh, I trust you as my Savior. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost. I know I'm headed for hell. I know that Jesus paid the penalty for me. Oh, God, save my soul. And what does God do at the cross? He saves you. But here's a tragic thing. We never go back. We never go back. We leave our sins at the cross, but not our righteousness. We leave our bad at the cross, but not our good. We leave our weakness at the cross, but not our strength. And what do? We have a regenerated spirit. The real thing. With counterfeit graces. If you ever go to the cross, you say, what do you mean? Get on an airplane? No, I don't mean go over to Gordon's Calvary. I mean you find you a spot out here. Go out to the cemetery somewhere and get in those woods out there. Go out to the college and walk back up in those woods somewhere. Drive out in the country. Get out of your car and walk out alone and get on your face and say, oh, God, I want something that's real. I'm tired of counterfeit. I want something that's real. I don't drink. That's all been crucified. I don't curse. That's all been crucified. I don't commit adultery. That's all been crucified. I don't steal. That's all been crucified. But oh, God, this disposition of mine. I try to be kind, and people think I'm kind. But in here, I don't always feel kind. And somehow it doesn't last. Oh, God, I come to the cross, and I want you to crucify my kindness, and crucify my love, and crucify my generosity, and crucify my goodness. I'm so hungry. I mean that. I'm a frustrated man. And I mean it. I'm so hungry for our people to have something real, I don't know what to do. I'm so hungry for us to have the genuine thing, I don't know what to do. We have tacked on and tacked on and tacked on and tacked on, and we've taught kindness and tried to learn to be kind. We've taught goodness, tried to learn to be good. It's time we had a generation of members in the First Baptist Church of Hammond who went to the old cross and got on your knees and said, God, crucify everything that's bad about me and crucify everything that's good about me, and rise to walk as a person who has crucified love and crucified grace and crucified generosity and crucified kindness. That's the only kind that's real. That's why the lady didn't like her husband after he got saved and crucified. He doesn't beat her anymore, but he's gone. He's gone soul winning all the time. He's never at home. I know a lady right now. She's sitting in this room right now. She's a good lady. I like her. She's got a hole in her head, but I like her. She's upset about her husband. He was as mean as the devil. He got saved and got crucified. He got the old flesh crucified. She said, hey, I never see him. He's out bus calling. Well, honey, he was out drinking with somebody else. You didn't want a Christian husband. You wanted a good husband. You didn't want a crucified husband. You wanted a kind husband. I long, I hurt on the inside for the people that call me preacher to have real Christianity. The kind of joy that cannot be dampened because it's crucified joy. The kind of love that cannot be quenched because it's crucified love. The kind of goodness. You see, your trouble is, you love as long as something is lovely. Let me tell you something. There's not one need again for anybody in this room to ever lose his temper unless it's at the devil. No need for it. You don't have to hate anybody. But hatred's all you got left when the object of uncrucified love is tacky. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. To the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, that has a wonderful attraction for me. But here's the tragic thing about it. We come to Calvary and get saved and never go back. Never go back. People say to me often, Brother Hiles, why don't you hate so-and-so? Because I don't have any hatred. How can you use what you don't have? But so-and-so hates me. Love him back. He slandered me. Bless him back. Take your goodness. Hear me now. I'm not talking to the bad people this morning. I'm talking to the good people. I'm talking to choir members. I'm talking to deacons. I'm talking to Sunday school teachers. I'm talking to the best people in this room as men count goodness. You set yourself aside about 2 or 3 hours this week. And you go hide yourself where there's nobody can be seen, no telephone can ring, no mailman can come, and you just hide yourself. And you fall on your face, righteous person. I'm not talking about the drunkard falling on his face. I'm not talking about the harlot falling on her face. I'm not talking about the adulterer falling on his face. I'm not talking about the thief falling on his face. I'm talking about the good people. Fall on your face. And say, oh my God, I'm kind, but it's my kindness. I yield myself for your kindness to flow through me. I'm generous, but it's fleshly generosity. I beg you, let your generosity flow through me. I'm good, but it's a fleshly goodness. Let your goodness flow through me. And then you start this new life of having His love, His kindness, His goodness. Where does it start? It starts at Calvary. How do you get it? By faith. Just like you got your sins forgiven. You get it by faith. And then somehow you'll know what it's like to walk in the Spirit. Father, bless the message.